Yesterday we finished the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and now we'll start the Gemara. Now, the opening line in the Mishnah is Echad Dini Mamonos Echad Dini Nefashos Bedrisha V'Chakira. So that means that in Dini Mamonos, like Dini Nefashos, the Eidim are going to have to answer questions that pinpoint the exact time and the exact place where, let's say, the loan took place in a case of a monetary law. Because the concept of Chakira, which is something that comprises a whole list of questions, and all those questions have one purpose: to determine when is the exact time and where was the exact place for the that the action took place. So that based on that premise, we're going to have a contradiction from a braisa, Uriminhu. So the kash is from a braisa. Shtar, we're talking about a shtar milva. Shezmano kosuv bi'echad b'nisan b'shmita. So the braisa gives an example. There could have been many examples, but the shtar testifies about a halva that presumably took place on the first of Nisan during the Shemitah year. Now, there's a whole discussion here why the Bryce had to mention that it was the Shemitah year. It could have been any of the other 6 years in the Shemitah cycle, but the Mishnah wants to tell, this Bryce wants to tell us that there could be a chov, a halva, during the Shemitah year.
Really?
Yeah. Why? So there are a couple of different possibilities. One is when the malva takes a mashkon from the lova. If the lova gives a collateral over to the malva, then that circumvents the law of Shemitah. Another possibility is something called prusbul. And prusbul is, again, that's a complicated business, but basically it means that the shtar is given over to the hands of Bezdin, and Bezdin sort of collects the chov on behalf of the lova. Anyway, this is a chiddush that Shemitah is not meshametah. Shemitah would not completely cut off the chov, and that's the case of the braisa. Fine. There are other possibilities here in interpreting the braisa. It could be that if the date of collection for that chov, you know, the what would you call it, the termination of the chov is before Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year, then Shemitah is not Mishamet, because Shemitah is only Mishamet on Rosh Hashanah going into the 8th year. So if we were learning the laws of Shemitah, what's called Shemitah's Ksafim, we would have to really go through a lot of sources, a lot of material with regard to that question. In any event, what's going to happen now is the following. The shtar has a date on it, and it has a place on it, a location. And, of course, this date includes not just the year of the Shemitah cycle, but also includes the day of the week. And that lends the shtar to Hazoma, which means that two witnesses can now come in and say, well, on that date, you were with us in a different location entirely. You couldn't have possibly have seen a halva, a loan, an exchange of money from the malva to the lova on that date, in that place, because you were with us elsewhere on that date. And that's called Hazoma. So it's very interesting, because the subject of this price is Hazoma on Eidei Ashtar. Now, it's interesting that if you look carefully at the language of the braisa, it says, Amru, Right, Bo Eidim V'Yomru, the two witnesses, these are what we call the Mazimim, they came into Bezdin and they said, Heich Atem. Now, when you say Heich Atem, how did you, it sounds like you're talking in second person, meaning you're seeing in front of you those two people, right? You follow me?
Yeah.
Heich Atem Me'idim Al Ashtar Hazeh. How could you be testifying on this star, which testifies to this loan? Valo Beyond Ploni, on the date that's written in the shtar, Imadu Ayisem B'Makom Ploni, you with us at a different location. So that, where are the Eidim? Normally, if you would ask me, I would say the Eidim are nowhere to be found, meaning the Eidim that's signed on the shtar, they could have, again, I don't know where they would fly off to, certainly not to South Korea these days, but you know, wherever they were. But in this particular scenario described by the Braisa, which is very surprising to me, the Eidei Ashtar are literally right in front of us. And how do I know this? Because the Mazimim are coming in and saying, Heich Atem Me'idim. They're turning to them in first person and say, how could you testify on this Halva when you were with us on that date, Beyond Ploni, which in this case is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you were with us, B'Makom Ploni, in some far off place. You couldn't have possibly been here in Yerushalayim to witness the loan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan when you were with us in Italy on that day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, this scenario, before we see the final decision of the Braisa, the final ruling, seems to be a classic case of Hazama. And yet, to our surprise, the Braisa says Hashtar Kosher, the Eid of Ksherim. And we're going to try to figure out why this is not Hazama. This looks like a perfect fit for Hazama. You know, you could have been there at that time and on that and at that location, because on that date and you were with us far away from that location in a different location. So the Bryce is now going to come up with a brand new principle, a theory that's going to explain why the shtar remains kosher despite the Hazama. And here it is. Chai Shinon, we're afraid, Shema Ichruhu Uksavuhu. So let's translate this literally and then try to fill in some of the blanks here. We're afraid that maybe the Halva actually took place earlier, but ichruhu uksavuhu, the shtar. So the word, you see, ichruhu has a pronoun, right? They made it later, right? It later. Who? But who? What did they make later? Gershon?
The document.
Correct. The document. Okay. Good.
What took place earlier?
Correct. Excellent. So they made they made the shtar on a date that's later than the actual halva. So in other words, the date on the shtar, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is a date that's later than the actual loan, the exchange of money from the hands of the lender to the borrower. Uksavu. And they wrote the shtar. So they wrote the shtar on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's the date in the shtar, but that's not the date on which they witnessed the actual giving of the money. So, for example, I'll just throw out a possibility. Let's say a week before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the loan took place, and the Love commissioned these two Eidim to write up their testimony about this loan in a shtar. But for whatever reason, the witnesses didn't get around to it for a week. You know, you and I would have said they could have done it on the spot, but in those days, you know, you had to hire a scribe and so forth. So it took them, again, I'm just giving you an example, a week till they wrote up the shtar. So the date of the shtar is the date on which the shtar was written, But it's not the date on which the loan took place. Which means the following, that again we'll talk about what location is written in the shtar. We'll get back to that in just a minute, but just first I want to get the outline of what we're seeing over here. Well, the outline of what we're seeing is that the witnesses saw the actual event, in this case the exchange of money, on a different day, on an earlier day than what's written in the shtar. So again, before we get into the question about the day on which the shtar was written, leave that out for a minute, because that's already a little more complicated. But if you just focus on the actual testimony that we, the undersigned, witnessed an exchange of money in which Reuven lent Shimon a money, that actual event took place a week before the date that's written in the shtar. The date that's written in the shtar reflects the date on which the shtar was written. But ichru uksavu, they delayed writing the shtar, and then they wrote it the shtar a week later. So even if on that date that's written in the shtar you have hazama, that would not validate the hazama, or invalidate
the transaction or the loan being
placed. Correct, because the loan took place a week before. So the fact that the Edim Mazimim are saying that you were with us on a different day than that date, that doesn't in any way undermine the testimony on Alva that took place a week before. Now the first question. Yeah, go ahead.
Shouldn't the shtar have indicated when the loan took place and where it took place, or that's not required? Since there's a delay here.
So again, let's go slowly.
Yeah.
The shtar should indicate the date on which the shtar is written.
Okay.
Let's go slowly. And in terms of the location, that we'll get to in a minute. There's a discussion here about that. But since the shtar reflects the date of the writing of the shtar, it doesn't reflect the date of the actual loan. Like, again, you could use the word transaction because you may have other cases that also fit into this discussion, but they're not necessarily a loan. We're talking here about a loan, but so when did the loan take place? So I look at the date on the shtar, and I ask myself the following question: what does that date indicate? Does that date indicate the time, the date of the loan, or does it indicate the date of the writing of the shtar? And the answer is that it indicates the date of the writing of the shtar. It doesn't necessarily indicate the date of the loan. Therefore, if the two mazimim say that you couldn't have witnessed this loan that you're testifying about because you were with us on that date elsewhere, right, far away, well, that's not true, because you're talking about a date that is what? That is not the date of the actual loan. You know, the Edom Zoma, the Edom Azim are accusing them about a certain date. We'll call it Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but that's not the date of the loan. So if you want to say, well, you couldn't have witnessed this loan because you were with us at that time in another place, we would have to know, well, what was the date of the loan? And the shtar doesn't indicate the date of the loan. The shtar indicates the date of the writing of the shtar. Okay, wait a minute. Let me go slowly. Rabosai, give me a little time here. Again, I was working on this. There's a lot of mathematics here, and until I'm willing to take questions, but you got to give me a moment of time until I could sort out all the mathematics here, so I understand what's going on. Okay, right now I'm just telling you in a general sense the date of the shtar does not indicate the date of the actual transaction, and therefore the fact that two Edom come in and say Moro Yisim on that date, which is written in the shtar, namely Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that is not Azama, because the purpose of Azama is to undermine the Edom and say you couldn't have possibly witnessed the action or the transaction that you're testifying about, because that's not a proof of it, because the transaction may have taken place on a different date. What the Gemara is going to ask down the line, just I want to just that you should see you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. What the Gemara is going to try to prove is that if our Mishnah were correct, and there's what's called Drisha V'Chakira, then we would have had to have asked the aid of exactly when was the halva, when did it take place. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara is going to prove from this that our mission is incorrect, because we did not ask about date and time. We only look at the shtar, and the shtar is not testifying on the date of the loan, it's only testifying on the date of the writing up of the shtar, which may have been a week after the loan. So we don't have any possibility of Hazom over here, which undermines our Mishnah. Again, that's something that we'll get to in a few minutes, because our Mishnah says that Echad Dini Momenus Vechad Dini Nefashis B'Drish V'Chakira, and Drish V'Chakira means that we have to take these witnesses who are testifying in a monetary case and interrogate them in such a way that they could be vulnerable, they're exposed to Hazom. Well, guess what? The Gemara is saying that, with all the respect, the Edom are here, and we're just looking at the Shtar, and there's no Hazoma. So how could there be no possibility of Hazoma if you're telling me that the Drish V'Chakira is critical in Dine Momenos? That's just where we're going with this. That's just so that you know where we want to get to at the end of the day. Okay. So now, I want to point out, the first thing is very technical that I want to point out, is the Gemara uses the word chayshinon. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Now, chayshinon is a very telling word over here, because it seems that we're coming up, Beis Din is like coming up with their own theory. That's called chayshina. Whenever you see the word chayshina, which means literally we suspect, it's not something that we know definitely, otherwise you wouldn't use the word chayshinon, but we're like racking our brains and we are coming up with this possibility. We're looking at all the possible scenarios. And just one second. Oh. The language of the Braisa sounds like Beis Din is doing somersaults in the air, so to speak. Litaretz es divram. In other words, we're trying to figure out, that's what Beis Din is trying to do, how we can reconcile the Eidus on this halva with the Hazama that's coming through the Mazimah.
I would translate word Chayshinon as we are speculating.
Okay, good. So the question is, why are we working overtime to try to defend the Edim by saying, well, there's no Hazama yet because maybe, you know, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan the loan didn't take place, maybe they delayed writing the shtar. I mean, why are we coming up with all these theories? In the language of the Achronim, they ask Yeshlachos, "Madua anu tzrichim letaretz es divrehem." Okay, that's a phrase. I don't know if you're familiar with that phrase, but letaretz es divrehem means to defend them, to give an answer. You know, oh, you know what they meant? They meant this. They meant that. They didn't mean that the loan took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's not how you read the shtar. What they really meant to say was, the loan took place a week before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Well, why are we coming up with them? And furthermore, Nish'alotam, why don't we ask them? They're in front of us, right? We read the Braisa meticulously, and the Braisa says, Hechatem me'idim al shtar zeh. So the Mazinim are facing the two Edim that are signed in the shtar face to face, and we're coming up with this brand new theory to try to reconcile so that we protect the Edom from the onslaught of the Hazama. Why are we doing such a thing? Why don't we just ask them? Tell me, the Shtar says Rosh Chodesh Nisan on it. Is that the date of the Alva? Or did you post-date that Shtar because the Alva took place earlier, but whatever, you didn't get around to writing the Shtar? So those are some of the questions that are raised here on this Bryce. Now, he writes here that there's a whole discussion about this in the Yalkut HaBi'urim. So So I'm not sure if we'll have a chance today, maybe another day, I don't know when, we want to learn a little bit of Erevin, if you remember. We'll get back to this Yalkut HaBiurim. I'm going to write myself a little note, you know, that we should look it up. But again, I just want you to be sensitive to this whole issue here of why we are doing somersaults here to try to come up with a theory that would defend the Edom when the Edom are standing in front of us. Why don't they speak for themselves? And why are we working so hard overtime to try to come up with this theory so that we can avoid Hazama? Is there some sort of a new Allah over here that whenever Hazama comes in, then we have to stand there and replace the Edom who are being accused of being Zomimim, and somehow, you know, we have to rack our brains to come up with a theory that they're not Zomimim? What is that all about? And I'll be honest with you, my intuition tells me that what we're looking at here is Halach and Shtar. I don't have all the details worked out, because again, you have to really go through this whole essay in Yalkut Biurim. I tried to do that when I was in Miskavla Dach today, waiting for my turn, but the only problem is I didn't have the Gemara with me. So all I had was this photocopy. So now I have the Gemara, at least, so I can... Because it's hard to schlep around all my Gemaras. I have like 15 of them.
Especially one of those little machines that put you into.
Yeah, the machine worked very nicely. I mean, I almost fell asleep. I was so comfortable. You know, they're rolling me in and out on this machine. I thought she was going to wake me up. I didn't understand her Hebrew. It's, you know, an Arabic... I'm not used to the Arabic Hebrew, if you know what I mean. But anyway... But now we get to a different question. Let's ask the following question. And on this question is, again, a lot of literature. Which location is recorded in the Shtar? We said that the Zman, which here is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is the time when a time at which the Shtar was written up. Because I understand that pretty well. You know, the Edom are signing on a Shtar today, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So it's, you know, it's appropriate, it's logical that they would write the date on the Shtar, because, you know, they're signing the Shtar. That Shtar relates to a certain date. And that's the date of the writing of the Shtar. But as far as Makom is concerned, meaning in terms of the place, the location, let me just raise it as a question, and then we'll try to analyze this question. What location is written in the Shtar? Is it the location of the Halva, of the loan that took place a week earlier, or is it the location of the signing of the Shtar?
Again, the earlier loan, because otherwise there wouldn't be a problem.
So wait a minute, Bob, you're a step ahead of me. I just want to say this. My first initial reaction to this question was, let them write the location on which they're writing the Shtar. I mean, just like they wrote the date on which they're signing the Shtar, why not the location which they're signing the Shtar? And then I thought about it a second time, and I said, no, that can't be right, because the whole testimony is about the what you call it, the loan. So where did the loan take place? Now, if we assume, like Bob, you said, that the location written in the Shtar is the location of the signing of the Shtar, then I'm wondering, could there be Hazama? What do I mean? You guys, I'm talking out of the mouth of the Mazimim, right? You guys are telling me that you testify on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you signed the Shtar on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Well, where were you on Rosh Chodesh? The Shtar says that you were in New York on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Well, wait a minute, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan you were with us in Chicago. So you couldn't have possibly have signed this Shtar on the 1st of Nisan in New York when you were with us on that date in Chicago. Why wouldn't that be Hazama? Again, this is a very profound question, because what is Hazama? Is Hazama meant to disprove the Shtar, or is Hazama meant to disprove the story that the shtar is telling, which is the story about Reuven, you know, about Shimon owing Reuven a mana. I don't know. I'm a little confused. You know, one side of me says, well, Hazom has to relate to the actual Maisa Shahaya, right? Because we're dealing with Dini Mamanos. We want to know whether Shimon owes Reuven a mana, or he doesn't owe him a mana. So you're telling me in this shtar that you know that Reuven borrowed a mana from Shimon. Well, from Reuven. So I should really be mazim you that you couldn't have possibly have seen the loan, right? Doesn't that make sense? But, oh, Dilma, here's my second possibility. Maybe you could have Hazoma on the writing of the shtar. You couldn't have possibly have written the shtar on that date, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in that location, because you were not there on that date. You were nowhere near the place that you claim it. And yet, the Mishnah, the Braisa that we're studying, says that there is no Hazoma. And the Eidus is kosher. So there one or two possibilities. Either the Braisa holds that Hazoma must relate to the Maisa Shahaya, about which we're testifying, about which Shimon would have to pay the money if the Eidus was reliable. And that's why the Eidus is Kshera, because we don't have any indication what date it was on which the loan took place. Or, alternatively, maybe what this Braisa is telling me is that the makom, the location that's written in the shtar, is not the makom of the signing of the shtar, but rather makom of the halva itself. Which means that when the mazimim tell us that you couldn't have witnessed that loan in Chicago because you were in New York, well, yeah, I was in New York on the 1st of Nisan, but I was in Chicago a week before that, and I witnessed the loan. Do you follow? So if the makom is not the makom of the ksivas chasimas hashtar, but rather the makom of the alva, so then I understand why this whole deck of cards, which is called Hazoma, has completely fallen apart in front of our eyes. Because, you know, if you're going to tell me, well, you couldn't have been in that makom to witness the loan because you were with us elsewhere. Well, on what day? You're telling me on the day of Nisan. Well, sorry, buddy. I witnessed the loan in that makom a week earlier. And that you're not mazim me on.
Can I answer a question?
Yeah.
I'm following everything.
I'm just trying to, you know, work out the mathematics.
I'm following everything you're saying, and I understand the issue. What's confusing me a little bit is going back to the basics of what should be in a shtar. Okay.
Right, that's what we're about to try to analyze. Should the shtar say the date of the signing of the shtar? That's one.
No, there's a date. Who's signing the shtar? The two witnesses?
Yeah.
And someone's witnessing the signing of the shtar also?
No.
They're just signing the shtar.
Right.
Okay, so they're signing the shtar and they're dating the shtar.
Right.
That we know of. Now, what's within the star? What's written in the star to talk about the trend? They're saying
we saw Reuven give Shimon a mana.
And shouldn't it say in such and such a place on such and such a date?
Let's take it apart. Okay. If you're asking me in such and such a date, the answer is no.
No.
Because there's one date, and that date is the date of the writing of the star.
Now, wait. So is that... Is that the Gemara that or the Mishnah?
We're studying now.
And not this Braisa necessarily, but I'm saying in the laws of Shtar, if we were learning about Shtarim, all right?
This is the source for the you don't realize how HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Hashgacha Pratis put you here to learn about stars. This is it. You know what I'm saying?
So what he said is the key, because the date of the loan is relevant.
Not only about where it is, because if witnesses come in and say to me, you know, I saw you in Chicago, and you're saying you were in New York at the time. So it seems to me the star should say, Reuven gave. We saw Reuven give Shimon a manah in New York on the 2nd of February, right? And now I'm signing it and I'm dating it the 2nd of March in Chicago.
So Don, look, all I can tell you, I'm not sure if I can answer the question why.
Okay.
But right now, I want to answer the question, what? Okay. What are the regulations? Okay. And we're learning them right now for the first time.
Okay.
You know?
Exactly.
And the regulation is, as far as the date, there's only one date in the shtar.
Okay.
You and I would have said there should be two dates in the shtar, right? The date of the signing of the shtar, right? The date of the alva.
Right.
But, to our shock, the Braisa says there's only one date.
Okay,
that's number one. Number two, which date is it? And the Braisa tells us again a shocking thing. It's the date of the signing of the shtar. Well, when did the alva take place? A week earlier, a month earlier. I don't know when it took place. Because I don't know when these Edom got around to writing the shtar and signing the shtar. Very strange. Again, if you can ask me the question, why? I'm in trouble.
Okay.
You know, because then I'm going to have to raise my hand and say, I can't answer your question.
A technical question now. So we're learning about the laws of shtarim from a Baraisa, not from a Mishnah. There's no Mishnah about...
I don't know. There are a lot of Mishnayos about shtaris, but not about this issue that we're focusing
okay.
on now.
Okay.
That the shtar was a delay. In other words, the writing of the shtar took place on a later date than the actual loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to the best of my knowledge, that's the subject of this Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Beis.
Okay.
There are many other Mishnayos about shtaris. I'll give you an example. There's a Mishnah in Ksubis about Kiyum Shtaris. How do we know that the two witnesses that are signed really did sign and it wasn't forfeited? There's a Mishnah at the end of Bava Basra about who commissions the writing of the Shtar, the Lova commission. So Shtaris is all over the place. Bav Metzia, for example, I'm learning now with Sugyan Bav Metzia, and the Gemara wants to know whether or not we can collect with this shtar from the lekuchos, meaning if the love, after he borrowed the money, and we know he borrowed the money based on the shtar, he sold his property. Could the malva go after the lekuchos who bought this property with a lien on it? That's a Mishnah in Masechta Bava Metzia.
I remember.
And then there's another Mishnah about what's called, again, you know, shtaris is a topic. Can I sell a shtar? And if I can't, how do I effectuate a sale on a shtar? There's a Mishnah about a get. What's the difference between a get and other shtars?
Okay.
There's another Mishnah about ksuba. How ksuba is different than shtars. We could study shtaros until Mashiach, well, hopefully he's coming today, but I'm saying, you know, until the bitter gullus will end. But one aspect of shtaros, and we're trying to figure out the date on the shtar and what it indicates, is right here in front of our eyes. And the paradox here, and I know you and I are not comfortable with this, is that the premise of this sugya, this brisa, is that the date of the shtar does not indicate the date of the transaction, in this case the loan, but rather it indicates the date of the signing of the shtar, which is a different date than the loan. Now we're up to makom. So Don, you asked me, and what about the place? Where did the loan take place? Is the shtar telling me, because every shtar has to have a location on it, right? Not just a date, but a location, right? On such a date, so forth and so on, and then a location. What is that location? Is that the location of the signing of the shtar, which means that makom is the same as zman, right? Because we're saying the zman of the shtar is the zman of the ksivas hashtar. When I say ksiva, I don't mean, you know, the stenographer. I'm talking about the signing of the shtar. And so, or is the zman of the halva? Now, if the zman is the zman of halva, I'm sorry, starting in, or the makom of the halva. If the makom, right, the zman is the zman of what? Of the ksivas hashtar. What about the makom? Is the makom of the ksivas hashtar, or it's the makom of the halva itself? If the makom, I don't know, but I'm just saying if the makom is the makom of the halva, then the whole enterprise of hazama falls to the wayside. Why? Because the mazimim are trying to say you couldn't have testified about this halva because you were with us elsewhere. Yeah, when were you with us elsewhere? On the date. Well, the date is unknown, correct?
Right.
Because the date is only the date of the writing of the shtar. On the other hand, if I would argue that the makom, like the zman, is the makom of the ksivas hashtar, then I begin to appreciate that Azama could be effective. Why? Because you couldn't have written up the shtar with that on that date in that place, because on that date you, right? So forget about the alva. I just want to know about the shtar itself. But the Gemara is assuming that hazama is not on the shtar. Hazama is on the testimony in the shtar. And the testimony in the shtar is about a certain transaction, and there's no hazama on the transaction because we don't know when the transaction took place. Now, what is the makom in the shtar? So I'm going to read to you the following line, which is taken from the Meiri. And he writes, "Ubeguf hashtar," are you listening, Rabosai? "Ubeguf hashtar kosvu es hamakom shebo hoisa hahalva velo es makom ksivas hashtar." Again, I can't explain why. I'm just trying to get the answer to the question, what? You know, I just want to get the rules down so I understand what the rules are. I would have said that the makom in the shtar, because the shtar is testifying on a halva, should be the makom which the halva took place. But then, he says no. Don't ask me why. I'm just trying to get the rules down. And he says that guf hashtar kosvus makom shebo hoisa. I'm sorry, let me say it one more time. If you would have asked me, I would have said that the makom like the zman, shouldn't there be some sort of, in Hebrew we call it hatama, you know, there should have been some sort of a konfluget, what?
Reconciliation.
Yeah, between the zman and the makom. If the zman is the zman of the ksivas hashtar, maybe the makom should be the makom. But nein, he's saying that it's not like that. The makom is the makom shebo hoisa halva. Velo makom shel ksivas hashtar. Again, don't ask me questions. I'm just desperately trying to get the facts down on the ground. And he says the following, according to the Meiri, tarich, the date shekosvu that they write in the shtar, echad ben Nisan, hu yom ksivas hashtar, velo yom halva. The date itself is not the date of the halva. And the Meiri, again, I'm nervous to say this to you because I'm very uncomfortable with this, but the Meiri says, you know why they didn't write the date of the Alva? Mishum shelo zachru bi'eze yom hois Alva. They don't remember when the Alva took place. Could you imagine? You were called upon to witness alone and to write up a shtar. You were very, very busy, you know, and writing a shtar is a whole business. A week went by, a month went by, I don't know how long went by until you got a chance, you had the opportunity to write a shtar. Wait 1 second. And in the meantime, you don't even remember the date of Alpha.
Remember, they didn't have these little things. Right. So they didn't always have the dates.
Like, correct, so I'm just telling you what the Meiri says. I would have taken these eight of it and put them over the coals. I mean, Rebunishal, tell me when this Alva took place. I mean, again, all this is going to lead us to that conclusion that I told you is the light at the end of this tunnel, that we don't even have to know when the transaction took place. And that has to do with, remember the concept, you may remember, Shalotino Delis Bifnei Lovin, that we wanted to make it easier for the Malve to get Eidim. So we're really going to be flexible, you know, in terms of how much we're going to allow the Eidim to either tell us or not tell us. And this whole institution of Drishos V'Chakiros to interrogate the Eidim at pinpointed time and the place goes down the tubes. All in favor of the Malve, right? Okay, but that's the light at the end of the tunnel. Says the Meiri, the Eidim don't remember the time of what? Of the Alva. Now get back to our original question. So what are the laws of Shtaris? That's what you were asking me, Don. Mm-hmm. The impression I get now for this Meiri is that if all things were ideal, the Shtar would testify as to the date of the Alva. The only problem is that the Eidim don't remember the date of the Alva, so they wrote the date of the writing of the Shtar. Now I understand the word chayshinon. Remember I was asking you, why does the Gemara say chayshinon? And the chayshinon is clear, at least from one perspective, is that we don't know if the Eidim do remember the date of Halva. They don't. If they do remember the date of Halva, then then they would have written the date of the halvah inside the shtar, and then hazama would be a cinch. But the reason why hazama is not a cinch is because perhaps the Edim wrote the date of the perhaps the Edim wrote the date of the ksivas hashtar because they don't remember the date of the halvah. So that's number one in terms of the zman of the shtar. But now in terms of the makom of the shtar. Okay. So here we have a Rashi, Dibra Masel Chai Shinon. Do you see such a Rashi, Dibra Masel Chai Shinon? It's about, if you see the wide lines in Rashi, it's about the seventh line down, something like that. It's a pretty long Rashi, and you'll notice on the third line of this Rashi, he quotes a Gemara in Gittin.
Yes.
You have that? So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a summary of what we want to get from this Rashi. The Gemara in Gittin has a discussion about Rav and Rav Huna, Rav and Rav Huna, and they mandate the Sofrim, the scribes, that if they write up a shtar, and let's say, for example, the makom, the place, was called Hini, that was the name of a place, they write in the shtar Hini, but if it was in a place called Shili, I'm sorry, they write, okay, so what are they writing in the shtar? So they write in the shtar Hini, even if the actual transaction took place in Shili. Not in Hini, but in Shili. So it sounds like, if I read this correctly, that Rashi quotes this Gemara in Gittin to prove that the makom is not the makom of the original transaction, but the makom of the writing of the shtar. We just finished saying that the makom is the makom of the alva, but the Gemara Gittin seems to say the opposite, that the mandate were to the scribes, to the sofrim, was you write this location where you're writing up the shtar, even though the Maisa took place in a different location. Now, we had this Brisa in which we deflected Hazava, and how we were called Mataritz Divrayim, and how did we deflect the Hazava? He says, L'chora einonu yecholim l'taritz divrayim shekosfu Bishtar es mokom ha-maisa shehoye tzrichim lichtov bo es mokom ha-ksiva. So Rashi seems to assume that there's hazoma on the ksiva sashtar. You couldn't have written that shtar and signed it on such and such a date and such a place because you were on that date with us elsewhere. But the answer is letaretz diburo, that the location written in the shtar is the location of the alva. So Rashi says, but that's against the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin tells us that Rav and Rav Huna would dictate to the scribes that they should write Hini, even though the alva took place in Shili. No. If that be the case, then we're back to square one. The Hazama should be valid. Why does the Brisa disqualify the Hazama? Because all this Chayshinim business, forget about Chayshinim business. I don't care when the Alva took place. I want to know whether these guys could have signed on the Shtar. This Shtar testifies that we signed on the Shtar on a certain date in a certain location. And that's their Edus. Right, their Edus took place. Again, Edus is not some sort of a, you know, a feeling that you have in your heart. You know, oh, I saw the transaction. No, that's not what Eidus is. Eidus is when you sign the shtar. Normal Eidus is when you come into Beis Din. In the case of the Chiddush of shtar is that you don't have to come into Beis Din. You know, if the two of you sit down, you draw up a document, you sign the document, that's your Eidus, as if you were in Beis Din. Well, you couldn't have given that testimony. You were with us on that date in a different location. So the premise that underlies our sugya is that the makom that's written in the shtar is not the makom of the ksivas hashtar, but rather the makom of the halva itself. That's against the Gemara in Gittin, because the Gemara in Gittin says that Rav and Rahuna told the sofrim, instructed the sofrim, that they should write the location here where they're writing the shtar. The scribes don't know where the halva took place. That's not their business. The scribes only know where they're writing up the shtar to prepare it for the eidim to sign. And the instruction was, you write this place. We're in Hini. Write Hini. Where was the halva? Could have been in Shili. But that's not relevant to you. You're preparing the shtar for the eidim to sign. You write the local location. No, if you write the local location, then what are we going to do with our brisa? The brisa says there's no azama. What do you mean there's no azama? There is azama. Because both the zman and the makom reflect the signing of the shtar. Well, you couldn't have been there to sign the shtar, which is your eidus. How could you have testified on that day? That's Rashi's kasha. So what is Rashi's answer? Rashi answers, Shedin zeh omer begitin eno posel hashtar ela afim kosu b'shtar es mokom ha-maiser hashtar kosher. So he's saying the following, that there's something called the ideal shtar, and then there's something which is a fallback shtar, or the evid shtar. Lichat chila, that's what Rav and Rav Huna are saying in Gittin. If all things were equal and ideal, then the makom in the shtar would be the makom aksiva. But it's possible that the shtar could be kosher even if the makom was not the makom aksiva, but rather the makom amaisa. Now, if the makom was the makom amaisa, then we understand our Gemara. Why? Because mimon afshach, no matter how slice the cake, there's no azama here. If they're being mazim on the ksiva, well, we don't know where the ksiva took place, and therefore there's no possibility of azama. And if the azama is going to be on the halva, but we don't know the date of the halva, because the date is only the ksivas hashtar. So you follow? Because we have a very fluky situation in which the zman reflects the zman of the ksivas hashtar, not the zman of halva. And on the other hand, the makom reflects the makom of the halva rather than the makom of the ksivas hashtar. Then mimanashach, no matter how you slice the cake, there's no possibility of hazama. There's no possibility of hazama on halva, because we don't know on what date that halva took place. There's no possibility of hazama on the ksivas hashtar, the chasimas hashtar, because we don't know where that ksivas hashtar took place, because they wrote the makom of what? Of the halva. Are you with me? It's like the law of the excluded middle. You know, it's like the tip tops, tiptoe through the tulips here. You know, there's some sort of a non-reconciliation, there's no confligence, whatever that word is, I forget, of the Zman and the Makom. The Zman is the Zman of the Ksiv, the Makom is the Makom of the Alva. So no matter how sliced the cake, there's no possibility of Azoma. And Rashi's Chiddush is that although the Gemara in Gittin requires that you write the Makom of the Ksiva, but that's only the Chatchila, but the Evid Ishtar is kosher even if they wrote the Makom HaMaisa. And that's this chayshina here. This whole chayshina that we're seeing in the Gemara to try to save and salvage the Eidus is based on the fact that the halva took place a week earlier. That's a possibility. So the zman doesn't indicate when the halva took place. And not only that, the makom doesn't even indicate where the shtar was written. Because the makom might be the makom of the halva. Do you see that where the drop falls between the tulips? HaGemara begintin mashmienu eitzetova. The eitzetova is a kdayu lichtov is makom haksiva. So if all is ideal, they'll write the makom haksiva. So that's the procedural requirement in an ideal state. Mishum shem yichtevu as makom ha-maisa alulim ha-edim acherim le-hazima v'loma lehem shebiyom ha-kosev b'shtar lo-hoyu bi-oso makom ele b'makom acher. So why l'chatchila do they want to avoid writing the makom ha-maisa but rather write the makom ha-ksiva? Because the Makom HaMaisa will expose the Edim to Hazoma. Everything is counterintuitive. We thought the purpose of Edus and all the interrogations of Edim is to expose them to Hazoma. But now we're saying just the opposite. We want to protect them from Hazoma in order to validate the Shtar. So that if the Mazima will say, well, on that day you were with us in a different Makom, now we're going to say that that the makom that's written in the shtar is not the makom of the alva, but rather it's the makom of the ksiva. And that's the ideal situation. Mikol makom, it's only the eitzet tova. But if, in a fallback position, instead of writing the makom haksiva, the edim wrote the makom of the alva, the shtar is kosher. Yeah, you see how we're going overboard to be machsher the shtar. And then there's no possibility of hazama. If we accept our Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that Echad Dine Momenos, V'Echad Dine Fashas, B'Drisha V'Chakira, is Hechi Chayshinon, how could this price say that we're suspicious? As you said, Gershon, we speculate. Shema Ichru V'Kisvu. How can we say Shema Ichru V'Kisvu? We're going to be Machshe the Shtal. We're through the Drisha V'Chakira. We'll be able to find out whether or not these two witnesses who are now being accused of Azoma, can they defend themselves and be machish and contradicted to Edim. So they testified. Rabbi Yofin says, She'idu kvar hukhishu lefanenu ayidei edim acherim. How can we say that we're coming up with theories, you know, about these Edim, and maybe this date is not the date of the actual Alva, and maybe the Makom is not the Makom of the Ksiva. How can we do that? We should be interrogating the Edim. Please tell us exactly where and when this took place. Do you follow? The Edim are in front of us. Okay, Rabosai, so this is where we'll stop for today. So we're not even halfway through this very, very tough Gemara. Very complicated Gemara.